I'm here for the hot topics today. Katie Ledecky.
Yeah, I thought it was, again, it's on The Athletic. Well, her book was good.
Was it intentional that your daily quote today was from her? Was that on purpose?
It was.
I caught it. Yes. See, I read them, you know?
That's good. Otherwise, my feelings would be hurt.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they would. I have feelings. I'm sensitive.
I didn't say you don't have feelings, but you wouldn't be hurt of me not reading your text message.
I would be like, why am I sending her these magnificent quotes?
Because you just, not gonna read just them. Keep trying to help people. Just never give up.
Yeah, true. That's me. I'm a giver. I'm a giver. I'm a giver.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
Yeah, she talks in here, and actually the author of the article was interviewing her, and yeah. The author was a swimmer as well, so had looked up to Katie, and it's kind of an interesting dynamic for an article, not typical.
What, an interview?
Yes.
Oh, I like it. I like an interview.
But she talked to her and did ask about what kind of goal she set and how she went about that. And, in swimming, your progress is easily charted.
Measured, Time.
Time.
Period.
And so you can tell right away how you compare to yourself and previous practices or meets. And not every sport is sure. Like that. But she, rather than setting goals, she used the term
want
times I would like to
achieve.
So I thought that was interesting. And then because she talks about, again, the only control she has in a meet is on her. Concerns herself.
Yeah.
And so she has no control over what other swimmers are doing.
Yeah, I think in swimming too, where it's such an isolated, like true one person sport, she said, I learned from a young age that I can't control what people are doing in the other lanes. And so it's focusing just, and we've talked about Michael Phelps a whole lot too on this, like very, like, I think about swimmers who just like stare at the bottom of the pool. They aren't looking in their periphery to see where the other swimmers are. They're just like focused on themselves, their process, their stroke. Their want times or whatever that is. I think that's unique to the sport, but also just powerful from a perspective of like how you view your goals.
Well, having the ability to kind of wear blinders and just,
yeah,
then you have a chance to kind of be in the zone or flow state and really execute your strokes, very fluidly, pun intended,
Good one.
I get it.
Good one. It's a water joke.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, that was it.
See, it's good.
I know. Man, it's sometimes it's just scary. But if the second you get distracted by something happening in another lane, or even if you're distracted by some thoughts that are unhelpful, in your own lane, then the ability to kind of swim freely, in kind of a flow state, is compromised.
Yeah.
And so I think she didn't mention this, but again, like, there's no judgment, oh no, I'm losing, or.
Well, I think that want times and times being times of her swimming, like the measurement of time. When I first read it, I was not connecting the times of, anyway. When she went on that streak, she held the record for like 14 consecutive years.
Oh, it's
like
crazy.
Nutty.
Yeah.
And because the interviewer asked, were there any moments that were challenging to keep that same focus? And I have to imagine, I know that it was probably a task for her to not do this, but it's one mindset to say like, okay, I can't break my streak. I can't lose because I have to maintain the streak, versus okay, I made this time on the last win and now I need to make this time. Like, it's just, rather than not trying to break the streak, she was just trying to continue being successful and set those goals. And I think that mindset shift of don't fail versus meet your goal is to me is what my big takeaway was.
And that is the, you know, when people talk about fear of success, you know, we've talked about a little before, that is the thing. Like, mm-hmm. All right, you've done it once. Now you gotta keep doing it. Keep doing it. And with her, she won X number of gold medals and world championships in a row. I would imagine it would be extremely difficult to, because it's not like she's unaware of it. You know, she goes into every one of these races
blissfully unaware.
Like, well, this could, you know, and everybody's trying to beat her. She got a target on her back.
Right. When you have a streak like that too, it's like, oh, she did it again, did it again, did it again. And the second you don't do it again, it's like, oh, she must be falling off. Like,
what
she
happened?
And so it's not just the pressure to. I think that's what, like, spectators kind of do, is we watch them as this spectacle of, and we like expect it. And it's like, from a viewer's perspective, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then it's just like, she must be done. And that's got to be hard mentally too, to know, like, A, it's unfair for spectators to view it that way, right? But that's just how we watch sports. But I also think from the athlete's perspective, like, knowing that people view it that way, of just this expectation that she's going to do it again. And the moment that you don't do it again, it must be because you can't ever do it again, not because you had one little glitch.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's how everybody knows who she is.
Yeah.
And so it's extremely difficult to not have your whole sense of identity and worth wrapped up in, you know, these performance outcomes. That's why I thought she's interesting, because she talks about a lot about, like, keep doing all the other things you like to do outside of whatever your sport is.
Hobbies or, and something else was her.
Playing instruments or whatever it is that makes for a full, like, well-rounded, rich life. And even in her book, Just Add Water, like, when she was 15 and she made the Olympic team and she actually won a gold medal as a 15-year-old. But in races leading up to that point, an announcer at one of the races said, I think she was 12, said, sure, we'll see her in the Olympics one day. And her parents, rather than, like, be thrilled, oh, that's so cool, her dad said, hey, let's not lay that on her at 12.
Because
I think at that point she hadn't even participated in the junior nationals yet.
Oh.
And it seems like her parents had a really solid view on this entire thing and never were, like, all wrapped up in Olympics or not. I think she even says in the book, my parents were like, Olympics, Shalympics. Like, it, you know, whatever. It's
crazy to think that you could possibly have that view, but it's the right, I mean, it's the right one, but it's, it's, again, very challenging to maintain that view.
Well, obviously her parents weren't wrapped up in
her success.
Yes.
It's like a reflection on them. Yeah.
Which is healthy and really nice story to read about.
Yeah, I think, though, like, on the mentorship and team culture part, where they talked about this, she knew, like, all the rookies' names, and she would, like, introduce herself, and not just, like, I think we tend to assume that, like, famous people are, like, the best of the best, assume that everybody knows your name, and they do know your name, but it doesn't mean that you don't need to still, like, have proper manners and introduce yourself, right? But I think that support, like, she said she loved going to practice every day. She loved being around her team. And ultimately, the summary of the article was, like, continue to find the joy in swimming. And, you know, she had mentors, some people that were above her that kind of welcomed her. And so she continued that on. And that doesn't just build culture amongst the team that's going to hopefully continue on for.
Yep.
But it gives you a little more sense of purpose other than just, like, I need to win this race. She's doing more for those people on that team and the school than
Well, she's
just winning.
15 and she's in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And so she talked about how many of the veterans kept an eye out for her, even though they're all like locked in on trying to max their performance out. They still were good enough people to look out for her and make sure she felt also very true.
Yeah.
But felt welcomed and that she belonged there and was a part of it. So she's tried to pay that back now that she's definitely the veteran. She makes sure that the newer swimmers are looked after as well. And I thought, too, that she spoke to, you just kind of alluded to this, the culture and the pool. She said it's a lot easier to be really going for it and working really hard every day when you're surrounded by people who are doing the same thing. And I think that's really important, regardless. It doesn't matter what it is, athletics or business or whatever, music. We're all better off if we're surrounded by people who are into it,
supporting us in that, and
all setting good examples and encouraging us to really be striving and to come in every day and give it everything we've got.
Yep.
And I think if you're lucky enough to be in that environment, you need to be very grateful and do everything you can to promote that. And if you're not, you've got to try to make that environment the best one possible.
Yeah, well, she said she was, really lucky to have a lot of really great coaches over the years that were, leaders, not just coaches. But ultimately, she said, if you can just focus on trying to get a little bit better each day, you're going to enjoy the sport and you're going to enjoy the process. And we talk about that process a lot, just understanding that it's not, I think it's one thing, it's hard to set, in the realm of the Olympics conversation, when we talk about this, like every 4 years, if every day you're going in and talking about that goal that's 4 years away, now it's 3 years away, that's like, that feels so distant. But she really kind of harped on like, every day just a little bit better than yesterday. And that just keeps it that kind of like shorter, doesn't feel so massive in the realm of trying to achieve it. It's not like, okay, I need to do this today so that in 4 years I'm successful, which ultimately that's what it is, but it's shrinking it down to a bunch of tiny little steps, and frankly making it more enjoyable along the way.
Well, and I know even in the course of a season, whether it be like a high school or college season, and if you start out in August or whatever, your preseason, whenever it is, and your whole focus is on the last
match, the end of it,
or state championship or whatever it is,
you lose sight of the things it takes to get there.
And like that, it's been so often where the ending was so monumental in terms of importance in our own minds that we're so far away from it now, and we wouldn't really lean into now.
Yeah.
And, very rarely have I had teams who could get away with that. I do remember one team that we had started preseason, and every practice was just like pulling teeth to get them to be into it. And I remember telling them we were getting ready to scrimmage a team that had won the 4A title the year before. And I said, I can't wait till we go over there tomorrow and they're going to kick your ass. And then you'll see, like, of course, the total opposite happened. We go over there,
grab them in the gear,
and they just flipped a switch. And at this point, we were not well known yet as a program. It's like year two. And everybody in the place was looking at it like, where did these people come from? And I'm sitting there thinking, like, seriously? Like,
you had this all along?
I knew they had it.
But it's that easy just to flip it on.
Very rarely do you have teams that can flip a switch like that.
Yeah, like you might have one or two people that can do it, but not the entire crew.
It was just really, I still remember it very vividly. Looks on people's faces in the crowd, like block or something. And I remember just shaking my head. Well, now what have I got?
Yeah.
You know.
What am I dealing with now?
But most of the time, that's not a thing at all. And you've really got to work. Now, I will say that group was very competitive. It was up to me to kind of find ways to make practice competitive.
Sure.
That was what was driving them. Yes, totally.
Which is why when you said they're going to kick your ass, they were like, the hell they are.
Right.
Like,
totally.
That's,
yes.
And that's hard to make. Like, I'm not necessarily surprised that for a competitive group, that comment from you flipped their switch. But like you said, trying to make practice competitive, it's very, I always found it very challenging, like when it was like A side, B side, to find it competitive. Like, you have to, now both sides have to be really in it to make it be that way. But that was all that was challenging, was like, oh, well, I know that's my teammate. I know how she's going to hit. I know what her, you know, what she's going to do if this happens. And so I found it hard to be like truly, like, naturally competitive in that environment. But you got to just keep finding ways to.
And that's probably one of the, from a coaching standpoint, the A side, B side thing. Like, I don't think you can have too much of that in practice.
Right.
I think everybody kind of loses interest. Regardless, whatever is needed to kind of spur this sort of thing. And I know the interviewer asked Katie, like, were you kind of naturally loving all this, like, hard work and process and training or not? And Katie, I think, just kind of deflected. It's easy when you're surrounded by all these people who that's how they roll.
What they do.
And so I think that's where, like, culture. I remember hearing one time somebody told me culture is overrated. Like, I don't think so.
Might be top of the list. I don't know.
it's really up there.
Right.
So I think it, promoting this kind of pursuit of excellence mentality, whatever it is you're doing, is pretty crucial. And it can't be left to chance. And it always needs attention. Like, if you think you can go a week without talking about it, like, you're in trouble.
Yep.
And just kind of establishing an identity. This is who we are. This is why we're doing this. And
showing up every day.
This is how we do it every day.
Yep.
I thought that was a pretty, between that and the kind of the way she mentored and led, those were pretty powerful culture points to be made. That was a really interesting article.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.